To WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Volunteers with AFL-CIO affiliated unions spent Election Eve burning the midnight oil last night after member Rebecca White called Florida residents from Midtown Manhattan.
Senator John Kerry is a leader on issues important to union members and their families. Your vote is your right, and no one can prevent you from voting. I thank you for your time. Take care.
White is part of the largest ever AFL-CIO election mobilization, with 3,000 volunteers in Ohio alone. Many out-of-state Florida voters are out of luck. After losing 56,000 absentee ballots, Broward County and West Palm Beach elections officials dropped off 8,000 replacement ballots to postal workers on Saturday. Many of the ballots arrived unsealed and had to be taped by hand. Postal employees scrambled to get the ballots in mailboxes by November 1st, leaving state residents until 7 p.m. today to return them to elections offices. Gerald McKiernan, spokesperson for the U.S. Postal Service.
Some of these ballots are going to Atlanta, Georgia. This one's going to Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm not sure we can do this. We'll deliver the local ones.
Who never received their ballots.
Anywhere from 15 million to 25 million Americans are predicted to come out and vote today, and the U.S. Election Assistance Commission is asking voters not to be deterred by long lines. Nearly 1.4 million people have been trained as poll workers. That's about 500,000 short of the number the commission says is needed to run the polls efficiently. The shortage of workers is especially evident in urban areas where there's a need for workers who speak multiple languages. The impact of the lack of workers could mean not just a longer wait in line, but also a longer wait for the final results to be tallied. Anticipating a need for more workers, the commission had sent an email to more than 100,000 Department of Agriculture employees seeking help. Only 14 employees who received the email have volunteered.
As workers go to the polls today, the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, has spent some $65 million on the pro-Kerry campaign effort. The SEIU has spent $7 million in Florida alone, and most of the SEIU effort has gone strategically to battleground states like Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Where are all the new jobs being added to the economy going? Well, if a new report by the Center for Immigration Studies is accurate, to immigrants. According to the report, immigrants holding a job increased by over 2 million between 2000 and 2004. As for native-born Americans, they saw their jobs decrease by nearly 500,000. The report also finds that there is little evidence that immigrants only take jobs a native worker doesn't want.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
I've been a lifelong Republican since I was old enough to vote, and I thought that Bush would be a fiscally conservative individual. I feel betrayed. I don't believe that a government should be engaging in reckless spending, recklessly stretching the military to the point of breaking, recklessly trying to stretch, alter, and amend the Constitution, which this country was based on. And that's why I'm going to vote for John Kerry.
Move On PAC is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
You might have heard the news that George W. suffered the embarrassment of having the Crawford, Texas newspaper endorse his opponent. You know you're in a heap of political hurt when your hometown paper rejects you. This news story was an amusing novelty, but it's really much bigger than that. For the editorial by the Lone Star Iconoclast is the best reason, best written piece I've yet read about why George W. should be rejected. It leads off like this. Few Americans would have voted for George W. 4 years ago if he had promised that, as president, he would empty the Social Security Trust Fund by $507 billion to help offset fiscal irresponsibility and at the same time slash Social Security benefits, cut Medicare by 17% and reduce veterans' benefits and military pay, eliminate overtime pay for millions of Americans and raise oil prices by 50%. Give tax cuts to businesses that sent American jobs overseas and, in fact, by policy, encourage their departure. Give away billions of dollars in government contracts without competitive bids, involve this country in a deadly and highly questionable war, and take a budget surplus and turn it into the worst deficit in the history of the United States, creating a debt in just 4 years that will take generations to repay. These were the elements of a hidden agenda that surfaced to lefty Bush haters. Indeed, they endorsed George in 2000, and the tone of this 04 editorial is not one of partisan glee, but of disappointment and sadness, saying repeatedly that he let us down. This is Jim Hightower saying, in the past, Bush has told voters who are unsure about him to listen to Texans like those in Crawford, who he says know him best. To read the full text of this powerful editorial by some Crawfordites who truly do know George, go to iconoclast-texas.com.
Well, Mr. Quentin, I have your loan application here. I see you want to finance one of our big screen TVs.
Oh, yeah, I love that TV.
Of course you do. The thing is, your credit report has a few hiccups or bumps.
Well, bumps, yes.
What we call red flags or warnings.
You see, I can...
Actually, you have huge gaping chasms of incredibly bad decision-making.
Okay, I can explain.
I mean monumental credit mistakes. I mean, phenomenally ridiculous, laughable, really. I mean, oh, Mr. Quentin, oh, I gotta frame this one.
Before you go for a loan, be prepared with Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score. All for just $14.95. It's the first step to getting the things you want. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-FAX. That's EQUIFAX. X.com.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, those awful liberals are at it. They are intimidating voters in New Mexico. We have from one of the conservative talking point think tank send out the stuff to all the right-wing talk show. How dare they? Yes, voter intimidation on a massive scale, according to the right wing. Let's get a little more balanced view. By the way, welcome to the program. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live coast to coast on radio stations from California to West Virginia, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, streaming around the planet on radiopower.org, a listener-supported web radio station. And by the way, radiopower.org is in the middle of a fundraising drive right now. If you are listening on radiopower.org, please click the donate button and help them keep that thing up and running. We do appreciate their web stream. And with archives at White Rose Society, another listener-supported site, and specific archives, little clips of our show on topics, various topics, at tomhartman.com. Up into our chat room, which is held in the Democratic Forum over on CompuServe, by simply clicking live chat off tomhartman.com. Today is the day of regime change, and Rob Ritchie is the executive director of the Center for Voting and Democracy, which has just released an election night as it happens, East to West report. Rob, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you, Tom.
And by the way, if anybody has any questions for Rob or wants to get into this thing, our toll-free number is 1-866-889-8894. Well, Rob, what do you think about this this conservative alert that I just got, that the League of Women Voters is intimidating people in New Mexico? I mean, they're very concerned about this.
We know the tradition of the League. You know, there's this kind of they have really just been destructive for elections. No, well, of course not. Yeah,
I'm thinking they're out there. They must be out there with axe handles. You know, I think they must be out there with axe handles like Lester Maddox used to do. I mean, it's just
right. Well, passions are high and people are stretching for whatever they can at this point. The line is within reach, at least as far as the votes being cast. Then it gets complicated, but at least we will finish a big part of the process today.
Yeah. Now, the Center for Voting and Democracy, your website is fairvote.org. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And tell me what you folks are doing here today. Not here on this show, but I mean here in the United States, you know.
We are we aren't involved directly in some of the excellent kind of election protection work being done out there to make sure that any problems at the polls are kind of caught early and fixed, and that can be from voting equipment not working to poll workers telling people the wrong thing, provisional ballots being kind of mishandled, those kinds of work, and there's a hotline for that 1-866-OUR-VOTE. If people have any problems, and that it's time to really, you know, step forward into the 21st century. And a lot of things that I know you support too, like instant runoff voting, there's some big changes that we'd like to see, and also just kind of reorient our thinking about the fact that as a citizen of the United States, the right to vote is an important integral part of that, and that it should be protected as if it were. And right now it's decentralized down to states and counties. The funding to run elections is typically too little. I actually went to my polling place here in Maryland, which is, they're great people, but it's all volunteer poll workers, right. Typically all, you know, mostly seniors. We make this a working day, so there's not enough poll workers. The line was huge, so I actually have to go back later because I didn't have time to vote yet. And it's just, but I want to vote on election day. I'd actually rather do that than mail, but we don't make it easy to do.
Yeah, we ought to do it over a weekend or something like that. But that again is going to require a constitutional amendment. I think a lot of states are getting around that with this early voting, which is basically taking the option of absentee ballot in advance, sort of thing. I mean, here in Vermont, Louise and I went down 4 days ago and said we'd like to vote early. And she said, well, we don't have early voting, but I can give you an absentee ballot. You can go sit in that chair over there and fill it out, and I'll take it from you, and you will have voted. So it's like, you know, I guess that's the way around it.
It is, but it's kind of a, it's not
a kludge.
Quite the right way for me, at least. I like the idea of us all coming together for the common good, you know, and actually, you know, the highest voter turnout in the country today will take place, it's sort of a trick question, it's going to take place in Puerto Rico, because Puerto Rico, they have proportional representation, an element of proportional representation for their legislature. They make Election Day a holiday, and voting is something that people really get excited about, and they have time to do it, and they can kind of come together, and when they're not voting, they can be out there kind of politicking and you know, being part of this civic day, rather than kind of just squeezing in the vote in the middle of a work day hoping they can get to the polls on time and the line's not too long.
Well, making
it just kind of creates a different spirit.
Yeah, making the first Tuesday in November the national day of voting a national holiday would be simply a legislative thing. That
exactly,
would be no
problem. Actually, I think maybe it might be the way to go. I think the weekend could work, but we have a culture of using weekends for other things, and I think we, you know, Tuesday is a day when we typically are working, but it's a day that we could be saying, hey, this, you know, once every 2 years, it's a civic day, and this is a day that you really get involved in. Maybe you get involved as a partisan, but a good chunk of people could get involved as poll workers, and
yeah.
We could have more polling places than we have now. We could just run elections better and just make it a day of really coming together.
Yeah, my
kind of the vision that I like to see.
Yeah, my big concern, two concerns here. One is if we were to change the day, that would require amending the Constitution, which would require a constitutional convention, which would throw open the doors for the cons and the corporations to get their fingers on the Constitution. I don't think we're ready for that right now. It's too dangerous. And the other is, I'm just absolutely astounded. I mean, the thing that I think is the greatest crime against democracy right now. And I mean this in the strongest possible sense, a crime against democracy, is that of all those things that are the commons, the things that we collectively own, the things that we all agree it's appropriate for government to provide the functions of, you know, for police, fire, army, protecting our food supply, protecting our drug supply, providing for roads and public transportation and air traffic control systems, of all of the commons, the vote is the commons is the most vital, because it's the part of the commons that ensures that the rest of the commons is actually under the control of we the people. And we have now put the vote in roughly a third of the United States in the hands of private for-profit corporations who are accountable to nobody and who openly tell us we have no legal right to look at the guts of their machines or to know how they're programmed. This, in my opinion, is a felony against democracy.
I think that we definitely should look to have publicly owned voting process, and I think you're right on, and you were one of the early people to flag this issue, and I think that it's, you know, to your credit, and I think that what I hope is we kind of have a comprehensive approach, because of course the rest of the country that doesn't have the latest DREs, they largely have bad voting equipment too, and yeah. You know, like state yeah. of Ohio is largely using punch cards, and we know that that's a problem,
and even the punch cards are being scanned by machines that have proprietary software that are programmable. I mean, in Comal County, Texas, in the 2002 election, you had three different races where extremist conservatives, one was a judge and the other two were, I believe, congressional races, all won with exactly 18,181 votes, which is in one county in one state. These were not touchscreen machines. These were where the machines were, you know, optical scan machines. But you have to program them too. They're computers as well. And again, they're, you know, the company is saying, hey, the software is proprietary. You can't see it. But I digress. What we really should be talking about today with Rob Ritchie here, who is the executive director of the Center for Voting and Democracy, fairvote.org, is: have you folks seen? Have you heard of any problems in the voting today?
I haven't heard of anything in particular that stands out at this point. We certainly are hearing the sort of the expected problems of the long lines and things. There are accusations being made, kind of like the Ligon voters one, which of course is ridiculous. But there are ones being made that you know, things aren't being done as much as well as they should have. I haven't heard, like, about, say, what's going on in Ohio with this concern about challenges at the polls. This is one of the ones that seemed like it could get really ugly, where the Republicans believe that the Democrats have registered a lot of people that really shouldn't be voting, so they have this whole crew of people that they're sending to the polls to kind of be ready to, you know, sort of challenge people about whether they should have a right to vote, and a real potential for people being intimidated, voters not realizing that they still have a right to vote, and so on.
Right.
But I haven't heard things going on in a way that's kind of at least dramatically catching the national attention yet.
What's particularly ironic about that situation, the Republicans point to, I believe it was in Pennsylvania, where the judge threw out some 16,000 registrations, saying that Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Ralph Nader, hundreds of times were being registered. And in that case, he threw Ralph Nader off the ballot because he said there weren't enough legitimate registrations. And it turns out that the reason for that was because a Republican group had paid. Literally, they were hiring homeless people, not to slam homeless people, but I mean, they were just like anybody who walked in the door. They were hiring them, and a large percentage of them were actually homeless people. And they were hiring them and paying them either by the registration, a buck for everything that gets filled out, or $100 a day to go out and register people. And so these people were just sitting in the corner filling, you know, making things up, and turned them into the Republicans, got paid. The Republicans went down and said, here's a bunch of Nader things. And of course, the counties said, hey, wait a minute, what is this Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck? No Democrat is going to register somebody as Donald Duck, and no poll watcher is going to allow somebody who shows up and says, hi, my name is Donald Duck, to vote. I mean, you know, it's absurd. But the Republicans are using that as an excuse to put thousands of challengers into the state of Ohio where the real game here, and I'm just amazed that I haven't heard this being talked about with all these pundits and talking heads, the real goal is to slow it down. If they can slow down the line so it's a 4, 5, 6 hour wait in line, then people are more likely to say, screw it, I can't take the time off from work, I can't afford it, I'm paid by the hour, I'm going to go back to work. And those are mostly going to be the Democratic voters. And that's the Republican agenda here. And nobody is talking about that.
And the polling day in most parts of the country does end by 7. So if you figure like your typical working day person, like, you know, getting the kids to school or getting to work, and, you know, they don't have time to vote before the working day, they sometimes do, but they don't always. And then they often have only like this little hour window in that sort of end of the day time that they can go vote, which is one of the issues that we'd like to see change too, just to kind of make a polling day. I'm actually just reviewing some of the things going on, and there are, you know, there is this sort of scattering of things going on, but it is sort of a reflection of the fact that we just don't have kind of the modern systems that we should trust. But say one of those touchscreen voting machines that you were counting about in the state of South Carolina, they had to, in one precinct, they weren't able to turn them on, and so they had to vote on paper for a couple couple hours while they were trying to get them ready.
Step by step. Rob, I got to ask you to hold right there. We're going to take a break here. Question for you, too. Talking to Rob Ritchie, Center for Voting and Democracy, 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is...
Talking to Rob Ritchie, Center for Voting and Democracy, 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at small...
Visit iowapeace.com. Small Town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Polasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in Heartland.
For more than 27 years, the progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0.
A must-read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about The Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
And you're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1546. That's 800-505-1546. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month of $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1546.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
Yeah, keep a close watch on your vote today. It's regime change day, National Regime Change Day, 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, 1-866-889-8894. We're talking with Rob Ritchie here in the last 5 minutes of this segment, Executive Director RG. Mike in Detroit, Michigan on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I had a question. I did a lot of moving over the last year, and I know somewhere along the lines I remembered to register to vote, and I know it was somewhere in my area.
In the state of Michigan, you mean?
Excuse me?
In the state of Michigan, you mean?
Yeah, somewhere in southeastern Michigan, and I don't remember where I'm registered to vote. Where do I find that information at?
You got an answer for that, Rob?
Well, you could try this 1-866 our vote number. There are several websites out there that are designed to help you find where you're registered to vote. I suspect you're in Michigan, you said?
Yeah.
I think if you go to the Secretary of State of Michigan's website, they have something set up to help you find out where you're registered.
Yeah. Or call the Secretary of State.
If you have access to on the web, that's one way to do it. It's obviously going to be kind of a hectic day, but there are these different sites on the web that are sort of designed to help you find your polling place. So yeah. If you kind of look up voting there. But you can always try calling your local Board of Elections. They're just going to be overwhelmed today.
Yeah,
with things.
Just whatever county you're in, you know.
Okay.
And if all else fails, just show up at the polls. They are required to give you a provisional ballot if you're not on their particular list, if you show up at the wrong poll. And hopefully they'll sort it out and figure out where you are registered. They should have a
statewide
though
in some list. States, I'm not sure what the case is in Michigan, a lot of states will actually toss the ballot if you're not in the right polling place.
Yeah, which seems to me just an absolute travesty of justice. Mike, thanks for the call. 1-866-884. Chuck in Los Alamos, New Mexico on the line. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. So I managed to get six people to the polls besides myself today.
Hey, good on you, Chuck. You get six brownie points.
Local Board of Elections, they're just going to be overwhelmed today.
Yeah,
with
just whatever county you're in, you know.
Okay.
And if all else fails, just show up at the polls. They are required to give you a provisional ballot if you're not on their particular list, if you show up at the wrong poll. And hopefully they'll sort it out and figure out where you are registered. They should have a
state though in some states, I'm not sure what the case is in Michigan, a lot of states will actually toss the ballot if you're not in the right polling place.
Yeah, which seems to me just an absolute travesty of justice. Mike, thanks for the call. 1-866-884. Chuck in Los Alamos, New Mexico on the line. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. So I managed to get six people to the polls besides myself today.
Hey, good on you, Chuck. You get six brownie points.
Thanks. And you know, it's funny. I've always been opposed to exit polls, but I think that they're absolutely critical now, especially they're really the only check that we have that there's not voter fraud.
Yeah, until we go back to paper ballots like they use in Europe and Canada. Yeah, absolutely. It's and unfortunately they're becoming increasingly difficult with all this advanced voting that's going on.
Yeah, but I mean that's the thing. It's like ask people when they come out, you know, and hey, have a Republican asking people on the way out, I have a Democrat and an independent, what have you. And you know, let's just see if this is within the air.
So that makes it particularly difficult to really judge things from an exit poll if 25% of people actually didn't vote at the poll.
Yeah, although that does leave a paper trail. Unfortunately, they're becoming increasingly difficult with all this advanced voting that's going on.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like ask people when they come out, you know, and hey, have a Republican asking people on the way out, I have a Democrat and an independent, what have you. And, you know, let's just see if this is within the air.
So that makes it particularly difficult to really judge things from an exit poll if 25% of people actually didn't vote at the poll.
Yeah, although that does leave a paper trail. What I don't get is why the Republicans have so aggressively fought this bill that Rush, a physicist, you know, he's a scientist, the guy's no dummy, he's got a PhD in physics, and he said, if Diebold can make an ATM machine that spits out a receipt, they can make a voting machine that spits out a receipt. And, of course, they're all saying, no, we can't do it, it's too expensive, it's too much hassle.
I think, though, that you're right that we need to say, let's go deeper into this and say, let's have a public interest, publicly developed company that has transparent public software rather than, you know, going to where you...
Let the government... www.fairvote.org, the Center for Voting and Democracy. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 29 minutes past the hour.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. In vacuums, bagless is a dirty word. In fact, they're filthy. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. My newest hypoallergenic 8-pound Orrick XL uses triple-wall disposable filter bags. Try my new vacuum free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. Orrick, the clean alternative to bagless vacuum.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Volunteers with AFL-CIO affiliated unions spent election eve burning the midnight oil last night after member Rebecca White called Florida residents from Midtown Manhattan.
Senator John Kerry is a leader on issues important to union members and their families. Your vote is your right, and no one can prevent you from voting. I thank you for your time. Take care.
White is part of the largest ever AFL-CIO election mobilization, with 3,000 volunteers in Ohio alone. Many out-of-state Florida voters are out of luck. After losing 56,000 absentee ballots, Broward County and West Palm Beach elections officials dropped off 8,000 replacement ballots to postal workers on Saturday. Many of the ballots arrived unsealed and had to be taped by hand. Postal employees scrambled to get the ballots in mailboxes by November 1st, leaving state residents until 7 p.m. today to return them to...
Some of these ballots are going to Atlanta, Georgia. This one's going to Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm not sure we can do this. We'll deliver the local ones. We'll do the best we can, and we'll get out as many as we can, and we'll get a return.
Volunteers for the Kerry camp say they were unable to locate and never received their ballots.
Anywhere from 15 million to 25 million Americans are predicted to come out and vote today, and the U.S. Election Assistance Commission is asking voters not to be deterred by long lines. Nearly 1.4 million people have been trained as poll workers. That's about 500,000 short of the number the commission says is needed to run the polls efficiently. The shortage of workers is especially evident in urban areas where there's a need for workers who speak multiple languages. The impact of the lack of workers could mean not just a longer wait in line, but also a longer wait for the final results to be tallied. Anticipating a need for more workers, the commission had sent an email to more than 100,000 Department of Agriculture employees seeking help. Only 14 employees who received the email have volunteered.
As workers go to the polls today, the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, has spent some $65 million on the pro-Kerry campaign effort. The SEIU has spent $7 million in Florida alone, and most of the SEIU effort has gone strategically to battleground states like Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Where are all the new jobs being added to the economy going? Well, if a new report by the Center for Immigration Studies is accurate, to immigrants. According to the report, immigrants holding a job increased by over 2 million between 2000 and 2004. As for native-born Americans, they saw their jobs decrease by nearly 500,000. The report also finds that there is little evidence that immigrants only take jobs a native worker doesn't want.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
I have a feeling by the end of the day you ain't seen nothing yet. It's time for democracy to return to the United States, for us to turn out these right-wing cranks, hopefully beyond just the executive branch. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live on radio stations from California to North Carolina, streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio coast to coast, and also beaming around the planet on radiopower.org, one of the finest of the web radio stations. Radiopower.org, by the way, doing a fundraiser right now. Be sure and push their donate button and get in there. Dennis Archer has been mentioned by the Washington Post as a potential attorney general in a Kerry administration. He's the former mayor of Detroit. He's with the Democratic National Committee, the DNC's Voter Protection Program. Mr. Archer, welcome to the program.
Tom, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad to have you here. You are from Michigan, right?
Yes, I'm the former mayor of the city of Detroit.
Well, yeah, so I guess that would make you from Michigan. We're on the air in two Michigan radio stations, WTKG in Grand Rapids and WSDS in Ann Arbor, which reaches into Detroit. And I'm curious about your thoughts on John Papa George, Michigan state representative, saying that the GOP has to suppress the Detroit vote. The attempts now in Ohio to intimidate the voters there, you know, the Republicans. I'm curious who appointed these two out of these three appeals court judges, but that's kind of a whole other issue. What's going on with all this? What are you folks seeing happening today?
Well, let me just say this, Tom. I think one of the great visions that Senator John Kerry had when he became the presumptive nominee was to make sure that America did not go through what occurred following the 2000 election. That is, he wanted to make sure wherever possible, anyone who was lawfully registered and eligible to vote could go in, cast their vote, and have their vote counted. And thus, he asked the Kerry Edwards Campaign Committee, as well as the Democratic National Committee, to put together a group of volunteer lawyers that would be helpful to citizens who wanted to exercise their right to vote. Thus, what you've seen across the United States is bringing to light anything that appears to be, or in fact was, an effort to intimidate anyone to go in and to cast their vote. As it relates to your question regarding State Representative Papa George, I'm sure that he probably regrets having made the statement that he did, that in order for the Republicans to win the state of Michigan, it would be important to suppress the vote in Detroit. The demographics of the city of Detroit is that we happen to be 87.5% people of color, and in Michigan, at least, about 96% of the registered people of color vote Democrat.
Yeah.
And so I think what he was attempting to say, to give him credit, was that he would prefer if folks in Detroit didn't vote, or at least the Republicans outvote the Democrats. Perhaps that's what he meant, but that's not the statement that he made.
Yeah, try to put the most charitable spin on it possible, and you know, but the reality, it seems to me, is that the Republican Party, I mean, they're under four court orders now, four injunctions over the last 15 years to stop them from voter suppression efforts. I mean, this is in a way reminiscent of some of the Jim Crow stuff from 40, 50 years ago, much of which, ironically, was perpetrated by the Democratic Party in the South before Lyndon Johnson decided to become, at the urging of Bobby Kennedy, I think, an advocate for civil rights in the United States. These voter suppression efforts, particularly in communities of color, or in traditionally heavily Democratic districts, and it seems I haven't heard one of these talking heads on TV talk about the fact that the goal of challenging voters in Ohio is simply to slow down the process so that working people will, after 4 hours in line, say, I can't stay any longer, I've got to go. In other words, to suppress the vote. Nobody is willing to say that out loud. Why not?
Well, I think one of the reasons, Tom, is that no one really wants to acknowledge that that actually exists. I mean, the reality of it is that, for example, in the city of Detroit, at a precinct at a church, somebody went by with a badge and said, you are not allowed to vote at this precinct. Just a few days ago in a city on the East Coast, somebody sent flyers out. We think it was probably produced on somebody's home computer. And it said, if you go to vote on November 2nd, if you owe a traffic ticket, if you owe back taxes, you are subject to be arrested. On the other hand, if you go vote on November 3rd, you can vote freely and you won't be arrested. I mean, these are the kinds of silly things that go on. But the reason why I think the lawyers have been so successful, both in court and bringing matters of voter suppression to the attention of the media, is that it puts people on notice that there are volunteers, namely over 10,000 lawyers at significant precincts throughout the United States, that wants to make sure that if a person goes to the poll, they can vote freely and without being intimidated and the like. And that issue in Ohio was the fact that there were 3,000 paid people to go in to specifically challenge people. The reason why I think the lawyers have been so successful, both in court and bringing matters of voter suppression to the attention of the media, is that it puts people on notice that there are volunteers, namely over 10,000 lawyers at significant precincts throughout the United States, that wants to make sure that if a person goes to the poll, they can vote freely and without being intimidated and the like. And that issue in Ohio was the fact that there were 3,000 paid people to go in to specifically challenge people at the polls to challenge their right to vote.
Right.
Under the guise of, we just want to make sure that they've got that they're lawfully registered, and under the guise that they're trying to commit fraud.
Yeah, but checking that is already the job of the poll workers. I mean, it's not like there isn't
exactly
somebody
right
there who's got that as a responsibility. It's already being done. The other thing,
you
ahead,
and I
Dennis.
Both know that, but the reality of it is that you have some people who are so enthusiastic in their support that they would stop at nothing. But here's what I want you to appreciate. Voters in America, in calling back to the undecided voters, trying to get them to come out to vote, it's breaking in favor of Senator John Kerry.
Yeah, I'm expecting a landslide for Kerry, frankly. I certainly hope so. I mean, we desperately need to return sanity to our foreign policy, our economic policy, our environmental policy, our labor policy, right on down the list. But without getting into the partisan stuff of it, although you know, I think we could probably work each other up into a lather here. talking here to Dennis Archer, the former mayor of Detroit, and now with the DNC voter protection group here. The other thing that makes me crazy about the mass media in the United States, and perhaps I understand and largely agree with your suggestion that one of the reasons why Chris Matthews and all these guys, these talking heads on TV, are not calling the voter suppression effort by the Republicans in Ohio exactly what it is and pointing out the fact that this is really an attempt to slow down the line so that people will give up and go home. They're not saying that because nobody wants to think that such a horrible thing could happen in America. It's almost kind of like we're in collective denial. The other thing, though, that boggles my mind is that everybody knows. I mean, this was a major story. It was on the headlines of the major news reports. It was AP, the whole thing, when the state of Pennsylvania took Ralph Nader off the ballot. They took him off the ballot because over 16,000 of the registrations that the Nader campaign had submitted had names like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Ralph Nader, something like 400 times on it. And the reason why was because, well, to back up just a little bit, when Republicans go out to register to people to vote, they make sure that it's a real person because they don't want that story. It was on the headlines of the major news reports. It was AP, the whole thing, when the state of Pennsylvania took Ralph Nader off the ballot. They took him off the ballot because over 16,000 of the registrations that the Nader campaign had submitted had names like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Ralph Nader, something like 400 times on it. And the reason why was because, well, to back up just a little bit, when Republicans go out to register to people to vote, they make sure that it's a real person because they don't want that voter to be challenged. When Democrats go out to register people to vote, they want to make sure it's a real person. They don't want that person to be challenged. When Greens or even Nader supporters go out to register people to vote, they make sure it's a real person and they get real information. They don't want that to be challenged. But in this case, and apparently all over the country, the Republicans, or let's say conservative groups, had hired people literally off the street and paid them on a per-name basis or a per-hour basis to get signatures for Ralph Nader, to get Ralph Nader on the ballot in these states. And these people were not ideologues. They didn't care about Ralph.
Like, one thing I am very pleased about in my hometown of Detroit, for example, and that is that the Detroit television stations there are giving out a number and asking, if there is a problem of any kind, please call us, and we will be delighted to see if we can get an answer so that you can go vote, or if there's a real problem, they can send somebody or contact somebody who can resolve the issue. We had, for example, one person who called in to a radio station, African-American radio station in Detroit, mm-hmm. and advised that there was somebody flashing a badge telling them at a church that they should not be there to vote, that they should go and vote someplace else. Well, these are people who got their voter registration cards and know where they're supposed to be, so they called in to talk about this guy intimidating. My thought was, boy, I sure hope that one of the lawyers gets over there first.
Yeah.
Somebody in the community gets over there.
There you go.
Because, as Jim Carville said today on television, you don't want to play with these people coming out to vote.
No.
They're serious about it. They're focused.
On both
and
sides.
They're tired of the dirty tricks. They're tired of all of this. And if the wrong person catches this guy first, he might be in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. These cons to get away with this talking point that they have. I have heard this probably 100 times in the last 5 days.
But they're on message, Tom. They stay on. They are very, very focused. They stay on message. And if anything, for example, right after the third debate, there's absolutely no question that Kerry beat President Bush in that third debate. So how did they spin it? They didn't spin it in terms of saying, well, this, that. They said, look at the remark that Senator Kerry said about Vice President Cheney's daughter.
I know. It's like.
It was very harmless. It was something that when John Edwards said much of the same thing in their debate between Senator Edwards and Vice President Cheney, Vice President Cheney looked at Senator Edwards and said, thank you
well,
very much.
Well, it was Cheney who first brought it up a week earlier when he, in a town hall conference, he said, yes, my daughter's a lesbian. Or he didn't use lesbian. He said, my daughter is gay and, you know, blah-de-blah. I mean, it was Cheney who put his daughter, not that his daughter was hiding. I mean, she's the head of his campaign, and she, before that, she'd been in charge with Coors Beer of organizing
and
you know.
And I respect the Cheney family for the manner in which they give their daughter respect. But I will tell you something, Tom, the spin doctors are on message, and when they lose on one issue, they pick up another and try to pull at the heartstrings or something. But our American people are very, very knowledgeable and sophisticated, and they're not going to go for the okey-doke. They're coming out in droves. I know in Detroit I've called around to other cities, other friends. I was down in Toledo, for example, on Sunday. Mayor Jack Ford and I went to six churches. They had a press conference and went to a union hall with about 200 people, about 150 of which were lawyers ready to volunteer. About 2 weeks down in Toledo, for example, on Sunday. Mayor Jack Ford and I went to six churches. They had a press conference and went to a union hall with about 200 people, about 150 of which were lawyers ready to volunteer. About 2 weeks before that, I was out in Denver, Colorado, campaigning with a state senator, now U.S. Senate candidate from Illinois, Barack Obama. He was there to support Ken Salazar, who is the attorney general in Colorado.
Right.
And there's so much enthusiasm all across the United States. I sort of suspect, Tom, that at the end of the day, sometime early in the morning, because I don't believe the national television stations are going to want to call this anytime and get an embarrassment like they did last 4 years ago by calling Florida for Gore. They were right, but the Supreme Court being correct.
Well, they did it because Gore's
protect the American voters who wanted to vote, and so that their votes would count, and that where challenges were being made in court, Tommy, was not to be litigious. Rather, it was to make sure that the secretaries of state who had different versions from the local and county clerks or presiding judges, whatever they might be called, in how to facilitate the Help America's Vote Act that was passed in 2002 to respond to the 2000 election fiasco that occurred. And so that provisional voting, how should it be done? That way, when the judges pronounce whatever it was they pronounced, the Secretary of State, the county and city clerks, as well as the voters would know what information they would need to take. The Secretary of State's office and the county clerks and local clerks would know what to do. Yeah. This is called America is Democracy. It's the kind of thing, Tom, that if you want to be able to tell people in Iraq, listen, if you the best way to go is a democracy where everybody who is registered to vote. We need to demonstrate that here, and without the dirty tricks that goes on. But we're prepared for it, and
I think we're
going to be better as a result of it.
I think we're doing it. I absolutely agree with you. I am so proud that Kerry and the DNC, they started out soft, and I was afraid it was going to be another wimpy campaign. And these guys have been taking names and kicking butt, and I am just so pleased to see that there's a possibility that we're going to have a really good, solid, clean, fair election here. We've been talking with Dennis Archer, the former mayor of Detroit, and Mr. Archer, thanks so much for being with us today on the program.
Tom, thank you. Thank you for being on top of your game, and thank you for informing the American people. We're much better off as a result of it.
You're welcome. I'll keep at it. Good to have you with us. Dennis Archer, the DNC Voter Protection, former mayor of Detroit. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 10 minutes before the hour. Tell Angela I'll take her out of the break.
Bonjour, my name is Véronique Raskin. I founded the Organic Wine Company 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious. When turned into wine, you can really taste the difference with every sip. So our wines are delicious and eco-friendly. So I want to make it easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you three of my favorite organically grown French wines at half off the regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. Isn't that magnifique? I think so. If you don't share my enthusiasm, I'll gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me at 1-888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Au revoir.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
The Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research is responsible for the following message. It was not approved by any candidate nor by any candidate's committee.
Hello, my name is Cindy, and I am a progressive. For many years, I've supported Ralph Nader, always admiring his many accomplishments. However, at this critical time, I cannot support his candidacy. You see, I have Parkinson's disease, and embryonic stem cell research may one day save my life. George W. Bush has severely restricted funding for stem cell research. He also threatens to jail doctors and scientists who want to use nuclear transfer research to cure debilitating diseases. On the other hand, John Kerry vows to remove President Bush's restrictions and to openly fund this vital research. Ralph Nader recently admitted that he has no chance to win this presidential election. A vote for Nader can only be a vote for Bush. Please don't throw your vote away. My life depends on it. Thank you.
Acid rain has fallen from the headlines, but an ecologist says we're a long way from solving the problem. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. In 1963, Gene Likens found that samples of rainwater he collected in the White Mountains of New Hampshire were very acidic. 9 years later, Likens, now director of the Institute of Ecosystem Studies in New York, published the first paper on acid rain. The issue became a leading environmental cause, and the 1990 amendments to the Federal Clean Air Act reduced emissions of sulfur dioxide, the main pollutant in acid rain. But Likens says rain is still up to 10 times more acidic than it should be in parts of the Northeast. And he says soil minerals like calcium and magnesium, which can neutralize acid, have been used up.
Having leached out large amounts of calcium and magnesium have made these soils now even more sensitive to continuing inputs of acid rain than they were before. It's sort of like using Tums or Rolaids for an acid stomach. And when the Tums and Rolaids is used up, then your stomach may burn.
Likens says the main source of the acid is changing. Coal-fired power plants emit most of the sulfur, but cars and trucks are putting more nitrogen oxides into the air.
The 1990 amendments to the Clean Air Act focused almost entirely on reducing sulfur emissions to the atmosphere. Well, that's good. That's great. But we also have increasing amounts of oxides emitted to the atmosphere. And I predict from my work that by about 2012, that nitric acid is going to be the dominant acid in precipitation where it has been for at least 50 years, sulfuric acid.
Likens says those higher inputs of nitrogen could present yet another set of problems for ecosystems already harmed by acid rain. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Right-wing freak judges $200 billion.
Yes, war's cooked up right from one. Big corporations are running this nation like it never was meant to be run.
Oh, why, George?
Yes, George, I hope you're having fun.
That from Jim Tour, one of America's great satiric geniuses at Blue Canyon Productions. .com, BlueCanyonSatire.com. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number. Let's go to Angela in Santa Fe. Angela, thanks so much for waiting so long. I know you've been on hold here for a bit. I appreciate it.
Well, that's all right. Thanks so much, Tom, for taking my call. I don't want to slow down your show here. I'm just a roving public radio reporter here in Santa Fe. Tuned into your show and caught the tail end of some comments you were making regarding the League of Women Voters here in New Mexico, and talked to them. They didn't know anything about this accusation, and hopefully they tuned in. Would you mind just repeating what you said, I guess,
sure,
at the top of your show?
At the top of the hour, I was mentioning we got from a guy named Scott Hogginson of Communications, S. Hogginson, S-O-N, at rnchq.org, a list. Today there have been reports of voter fraud and intimidation across the country. In Philadelphia, hundreds of votes were, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this is a right-wing guy, right? This is the right-wing stuff. And in New Mexico, they list, you know, in Colorado, reports of MoveOn.org at polling sites. In Florida, there was a Bush equals Nazi sign displayed in front of Kerry headquarters. This is their idea of voter intimidation. In New Mexico, reports of League of Women Voters at polling places in Donna Ana County. So this is
Donna Ana County.
Yeah.
Well, give them a call. You know, it's interesting to note then how this accusation has come out, and the League of Women Voters here in New Mexico haven't even been contacted first.
This is the right wing talking points. I mean, this is, you're going to be hearing about this stuff on Sean Hannity's show this afternoon. You know, it's look at what the Dems are doing. They're trying to gum up the works. So I'm just sharing the right wing talking points with you in advance.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I know they're appreciative of hearing about this too.
It's pretty pathetic.
The mode of communication.
You know, it's bizarre that the cons think that the League of Women Voters.
People need to vote.
Oh, but see, from the Republican point of view, helping people vote is a bad idea. I mean, that's just, you know, suppress the vote. That's their. Angela, thanks for the call.
Thanks,
I do appreciate
Tom.
It.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good one, and thanks for listening to us there on KTRC, one of our finest affiliates. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Tom Hartman here with you. Talk radio for the rest of us, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not from some right-wing think tank funded by some old beer baron, as the case may be.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara put it this way: to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Volunteers with AFL-CIO affiliated unions spent election eve burning the midnight oil last night after member Rebecca White called Florida residents from Midtown Manhattan.
Senator John Kerry is a leader on issues important to union members and their families. Your vote is your right, and no one can prevent you from voting. I thank you for your time. Take care.
Why it is part of the largest ever AFL-CIO election mobilization with three...
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Volunteers with AFL-CIO-affiliated unions spent election eve burning the midnight oil last night after member Rebecca White called Florida residents from Midtown Manhattan.
Senator John Kerry is a leader on issues important to union members and their families. Your vote is your right, and no one can prevent you from voting. I thank you for your time. Take care.
White is part of the largest ever AFL-CIO election mobilization with 3,000 volunteers in Ohio alone. Many out-of-state Florida voters are out of luck after losing 56,000 absentee ballots. Broward County and West Palm Beach elections officials dropped off 8,000 replacement ballots to postal workers on Saturday. Many of the ballots arrived unsealed and had to be taped by hand. Postal employees scrambled to get the ballots in mailboxes by November 1st, leaving state residents until 7 p.m. today to return them to elections offices. Gerald McKiernan, spokesperson for the U.S. Postal Service.
Some of these ballots are going to Atlanta, Georgia. This one's going to Little Rock, Arkansas.
Anticipating a need for more workers, the commission had sent an email to more than 100,000 Department of Agriculture employees seeking help. Only 14 employees who received the email have volunteered.
As workers go to the polls today, the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, has spent some $65 million on the pro-Kerry campaign effort. The SEIU has spent $7 million in Florida alone, and most of the SEIU effort has gone strategically to battleground states like Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Where are all the new jobs being added to the economy going? Well, if a new report by the Center for Immigration Studies is accurate, to immigrants. According to the report, immigrants holding a job increased by over 2 million between 2000 and 2004. As for native-born Americans, they saw their jobs decrease by nearly 500,000. The report also finds that there is little evidence that immigrants only take jobs a native worker doesn't want.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
I've been a lifelong Republican since I was old enough to vote, and I thought that Bush would be a fiscally conservative individual. I feel betrayed. I don't believe that a government should be engaging in reckless spending, recklessly stretching the military to the point of breaking, recklessly trying to stretch, alter, and amend the Constitution, which this country was based on. And that's why I'm going to vote for John Kerry.
Move On PAC is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Am I the only one who wants to say to Donald Trump, please, Donnie, please take your orange-dyed, bad comb-over hairdo and your grotesquely inflated ego and go away? The Donald, as he likes to be known, is the self-promoting high society celebrity who vamps shamelessly as a hard-nosed CE reality TV show called The Apprentice. He also has a book out called Trump. In both the show and the book, Donnie poses as a very rich, successful businessman. He is rich, but he didn't get there himself. Instead, he got rich the old-fashioned way. He inherited a New York City real estate fortune from his daddy. And as for being a business success, you might want to ask investors in his struggling casino empire about that. Trump Hotels and Casino Resorts is the one business venture that he launched on his own, his claim to corporate success. It's crumbling. Worse, it's about to crash. Only 2 weeks after signing a new contract with NBC to pose as a business mogul on The Apprentice for another season, his real-life corporation announced a quarterly loss of $49 million. Indeed, Trump Hotels has never been profitable in its decade-long history, and it is stuck so deeply in some $2 billion of debt that Trump's own auditors say there is substantial doubt about whether it can survive. Donnie says it's not his fault. This has nothing to do with me, he whined. Yoo-hoo, you're Trumpness. You're the CEO and chairman of the board. Investors and analysts lay the blame squarely at the Donald's feet, accusing him of ineffective management, slipshod financial practices, and creditors. The CEO is about to hear the trademark phrase he uses on his TV show. You're fired. This is Jim Hightower saying, it couldn't happen to a more deserving guy. What a fraud.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get Score Power from Equifax.com. Score Power gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get Score Power at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. The 2nd of November, the first Tuesday in November, it is Regime Change Day. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, TomHartman.com, our website, Tom Hartman, here with you, broadcasting live on radio stations all across the nation, streaming down from space on the Sirius satellite system, beaming around the planet on RadioPower.org, which is running a fundraiser today. Please, if you're listening to RadioPower.org, push the donate button. And Adam Sharon with the Talk Radio News Service is with us. Hey, Adam, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, thank you for having me.
I understand you folks are with Talk Radio News Service today, must be working quadruple time here all over the country. Where are you right now?
I am actually in South Florida, in Broward County, in Dade County. You, of course, remember those from 2000.
Oh, yeah. Now, Adam, I have a quick question about Broward County. Broward County is the county where 56 or 58,000 absentee ballots did not get mailed out, right?
That's exactly right.
Is Broward County principally a Democratic county?
That is exactly right, too.
What a surprise. Why is it that I've been watching the news now for 2 weeks since this story broke, and not one news reporter has said, in principally Democratic Broward County, 58,000 ballots did not get mailed?
That's a very good question. But that's the truth of the matter is, Broward County is not only principally Democratic, it's the most Democratic county in the state of Florida.
Oh, geez.
Now, but let me also say this. People who did not get their ballots, what they've done, and I've been here for a few days now, is they didn't take a chance. They weren't waiting at home for the postal, for the mail to come or for the package to come. They went to the polls, and yesterday I went to an advanced polling place here in Broward County and waited 5 hours. And people waited, and they waited in the 80-degree temperature, and they voted.
These people who requested absentee ballots did so because, you know, they're in the hospital with a broken hip or they're in a nursing home. I mean, there's a lot of senior citizens there. They don't get around very easily. They can't drive. You know, they ask for absentee ballots because it's difficult, inconvenient, or painful for them to show up in person.
That's right. And the only way to make up for it is really beginning over the weekend and a few days prior, the county worked with FedEx to overnight these packages to people, have voters pick off who they want to vote for, and then they are being returned now. We don't have any numbers, but they are coming back. They have to be back by 7 p.m. tonight to be counted.
Yeah, but I heard on NBC last night that only about half of the people in Broward County who'd requested them had actually had them sent to them so far. Is that true?
Yeah, that's definitely in line with what I'm hearing as well.
They suppressed somewhere between 20 and 70,000 mostly African American votes in the 2000 election with Catherine Harris conspiring with this company out of Texas and Jeb Bush. The whole Bush crime family thing of kicking legitimate. We have the situation now in the most Democratic county in Florida, where another 58,000 people were not sent their ballots. Now they're trying to fix it, and so they're going to fix it by sending out about half as many. I mean, this is you know, if this was going on in Guatemala, it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this is Banana Republic raised to the level of an art form. Why is our national media not taking Jeb Bush to task for this?
You know, I can't give you a good answer. I don't think, for whatever reason, voters here, because of these absentees, are also throughout the country and throughout the world, you don't have a great...
8,000 people were not sent their ballots. Now they're trying to fix it, and so they're going to fix it by sending out about half as many. I mean, this is you know, if this was going on in Guatemala, it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this is Banana Republic raised to the level of an art form. Why is our national media not taking Jeb Bush to task for this?
You know, I can't give you a good answer. I don't think, for whatever reason, voters here, because of these absentees, are also throughout the country and throughout the world, you don't have a groundswell of people saying enough is enough. What people are doing, in fairness, though, is in this heavily Democratic county of Broward County, Florida, people are voting in numbers that never occurred before. Yeah. I've interviewed many, many people waiting in lines, and they tell me, you know what? I'm voting for the first time, and my community is voting, and my age group's voting, and the numbers that are coming out are beyond impressive.
Yeah, this is one of those never again moments. You know, it's not to minimize the Holocaust, but this is one of those.
A few voters have gone to the wrong precinct, and these Democratic affiliate groups will take that voter, draw them a map, show them where the correct precinct is, and those voters who arrived at the wrong place are not going home, they're not going to work, they're not going shopping, they're going to the precinct to vote. Even though it requires getting back in the car and driving a few more miles, people are voting.
Now,
there's no doubt about it.
Now, Adam Sheeran of the Talk Radio News Service, I have here an email. You know, I'm on the list of right-wing talk show hosts to get the daily talking points that Hannity and all these other guys get that they beat to death every day on their radio shows. And usually I ignore them, or you know, sometimes they're actually humorous. But here today, the voter fraud, intimidation, state incidents. This came in the email this morning, mm-hmm. And you know, to all the talk show hosts in the country, locations of complaints have been in Ohio, Florida, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Colorado, Iowa, Maine, Michigan, and Minnesota. In some instances, the police have had to remove MoveOn.org activists. Colorado, MoveOn.org at polling sites. Florida, MoveOn.org at polling sites. And then the other complaint they have is that there's a Bush equals Nazi sign displayed in front of Kerry headquarters in Little Havana. The conservatives are saying that the presence of MoveOn.org volunteers, quote, helping people vote, end quote, is a sinister force. I have to say, Adam, if Republican volunteers were, quote, helping people vote, end quote, outside the polling places, I'd be a little concerned.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think people should keep in mind that there are Democratic affiliate groups out there. There's no doubt about that. But they are overbearing on top of people, demanding that they help, demanding that they vote for Kerry. There's no advocating going on. There really isn't. I've even seen, you know, the Kerry campaign, because they're well organized here in South Florida and Broward County, have bottles of water and snacks and food to give to people waiting in line. And they're not asking, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? And based on that answer, giving food or not giving food, they're giving it to everyone.
Yeah.
Anyone who has a question, they're helping. They're not, if you see a voter who, I don't know, maybe has a Bush hat on or whatever, it's not as if these advocates are ignoring them. They literally are asking every person, and I've been to over 15 precincts now, who is exiting the precinct, who just voted, asking them, were there any problems, anything wrong happened in there? And they're asking everyone who comes out of here.
Adam Sheeran of the Talk Radio News Service, one last question here before I let you go. I know you're busy and you've got a lot of other stations to call, no doubt. Are you getting any sense? Well, actually, two questions. The first is, are you getting any sense that there are problems, that there are, you know, goon squads and things like that coming out? And secondly, because we just had the former mayor of Detroit on, and he was talking about how in some districts in Detroit, people are showing up and flashing phony badges and scaring people away. And secondly, are you seeing the presence of any of the national news agencies doing exit polls that might serve as a way of determining whether or not the voting machines are accurate.
Sure. In terms of the first question, as I mentioned, you have so many people here, from lawyers from both campaigns, advocates from both parties, local issue people, police officers, state patrollers, really outside almost every precinct, that it's of voter intimidation, of being roughed up, of anything like that. Because it happened here in such a terrible way 4 years ago, you have many layers of sort of protection to prevent that from happening.
Yeah.
Your second question was about
The exit polls. Polls are historically in third world countries, the way that the UN certifies that an election was clean is by comparing the results of the exit polls with the result of the poll, or the result of the vote. Are there folks down there doing exit polls? The news organizations, things like that.
Yeah, you know what? That's very interesting. That is the one group of people who aren't here, are whether it be reporters or some type of organization to take that exit polls. Everyone else is here, the advocates, the lawyers, the police.
If he hacks the voting machine, we have no way of knowing that it happened.
You have no way of knowing. For people here in Broward County and 13 counties around Florida, you don't get any receipts back after you vote. You don't get when you go food shopping, a receipt that's itemized,
right,
all your items. You don't get that. The only way, what you do as a voter, is you touch the screens, and the final page, the final screen, will show you what all your votes were and will ask you, is that indeed what you voted? Did you make an error? Did the computer make an error? Here's your last chance to change the vote, and then you
right.
do or you don't, and that's it.
That's
but beyond
it.
That, no, there is no exit poll. There is no paper trail. There's none of that.
There's nothing covering it. Okay, Adam Sharon from the Talk Radio News Service. Adam, thanks for calling in today. I appreciate it. I know we'll be hearing from other folks with TRNS, and do appreciate the report. Have a great day, and stay safe.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, talk to you soon. It's 17 minutes past the hour. Let's go to taxi driver number 12 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Our number, by the way, if you'd like to be on the program, 1-866-889-8894. Hey, number 12, how's life in Santa Fe? What's on your mind on this?
Is that indeed what you voted? Did you make an error? Did the computer make an error? Here's your last chance to change the vote, and then you
right.
do or you don't, and that's it.
That's
but beyond
it.
That, no, there is no exit poll. There is no paper trail. There's none of that.
There's nothing covering it. Okay, Adam Sharon from the Talk Radio News Service. Adam, thanks for calling in today. I appreciate it. I know we'll be hearing from other folks with TRNS, and do appreciate the report. Have a great day, and stay safe.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, talk to you soon. It's 17 minutes past the hour. Let's go to taxi driver number 12 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Our number, by the way, if you'd like to be on the program, 1-866-889-8894. Hey, number 12, how's life in Santa Fe? What's on your mind on this day of regime change?
I went to the polling place today, and there was representatives, like the Move On Doc Pack, and then there was the something like a voter rights something or other. So they when you went up to the desk, they had a Republican poll watcher and a Democrat poll watcher. So I thought it was pretty balanced that way.
Oh, good, good. Glad to hear it. And you had no glitches. You were able to just go in and vote. And
well, there was actually I go to this place called the Elks Lodge, which is usually I went after rush hour, and usually I walk in, I'm one of five people, and there's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you're encouraging people to vote. I think that's a great thing. Thanks a lot for the call, number 12. I do appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Always good to hear from you. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, smalldogelectronics.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Bonjour, my name is Michel, and I founded the Organic Wine Company with my sister 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines yet, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious that when turned into wine, you can really taste the difference. Our wines are delicious and eco-friendly. So I want you three of my favorite organic French wines at half their regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. C'est magnifique! And if you don't agree, I will gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE, which is ECOWINE. Au revoir.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Ecolonomics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Ecolonomics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Bush administration can't seem to get it right when it comes to creating jobs. In the U.S., there's a net loss of jobs. In Iraq, the Bush administration blames a clerical error for overstating the number of Iraqi jobs in projects funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development. The agency first said more than 88,000 were working in its projects as of September 15th, but that has changed to just under 46,000 blamed on a clerical error.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in the heartland.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
They seek him here.
Oh, where's Mr. Kerry?
They seek him there.
Oh, there's Mr. Kerry. He's right there on the ballot. Yes, you can vote for him. And it's... Oh, please, please do not vote for Ralph Nader. Yes, I voted for Nader in 2000. Yes, I confess. I'm doing my penance here. You know, 2 years on the radio, doing my penance. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. We'll get calls in just a second. Very quickly, first, I want to just let you know, the website mypollingplace.com, mypollingplace, P-O-L-L-I-N-G-P-L-A-C-E.com, mypollingplace.com, all one word, has a place locator to help you find where your voting booth should be. Don't forget to bring ID with you. And if you're in one of the swing states where the Republicans are putting their goon squads, I would suggest that you bring a passport, birth certificate, copy of your electric bill, a tax bill, you know, like property tax bill, to prove that you actually live where you say you live and that you are a resident and that you are a United States citizen, or naturalization card, if that's a naturalization certificate, whatever it takes. It's funny. Louise and I went down to vote here in Vermont, and we took our passports with us. We got down there, and the woman goes, "Oh, hi, how are you?" It's like somebody I've seen in the restaurant, you know. It's like... she didn't know my name, but she knows that we live here. I mean, this is here. We live in a town of 9,000 people. It's absolutely wonderful. But if you live in a, you know, in the big city, Take as much, overkill. Take as much ID as you can. If you have a problem, 1-866-OUR-VOTE, O-U-R-V-O-T-E, 1-866-OUR-VOTE. And if they tell you that you're not on the list, ask them for a provisional ballot and tell them you want to vote on a provisional ballot anyway. And even though it may well not be counted, if you can find out what list you are on or what precinct you should be on, go to that one and actually vote. But all else fails, ask for a provisional ballot. And if some Republican goon challenges you, ask for a provisional ballot. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Chris in Abiquiu, New Mexico, on the line. Hey, Chris, have you voted?
Oh, I voted last week.
Did you get a paper receipt? Was it voting machines? How was it done?
It was touchscreen. Nope, no paper receipt. But, sometimes you just gotta clench your eyes and go for broke because, I didn't have a choice.
You have to trust.
Yes. That's an awful word.
Trust Diebold. Trust Diebold to do the right thing.
I agree with you about people taking ID. Take as much as you can. If you're in a battleground state and you go to vote, listen, if someone, anyone, starts actions or asks for your ID or for your Social Security number, you ask them right away if they're poll workers. If they say yes, you ask them for ID, and if they don't produce any, just say, I don't want to talk to you. If you have questions about voting, the poll workers will help you. They'll be the ones right by the booth.
You're right. This would be a great opportunity for the identity theft folks.
Complete great identity theft. Identity theft, Republican thugs, people that'll screw up your credit. I mean, anything. But just unless they can identify themselves as poll workers, you don't have to talk to them.
You tell them, to get out of your face.
Yeah, right on the right or on the left. You don't have to talk to anybody. If a poll worker asks, I would say go ahead and give them what they want. But they have to have ID.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well said. Chris, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Eric in Santa Fe, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Eric, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. You have a lot of great ideas. I've listened to you for about 9 months now. First time I ever had a chance to call because I am off for the election. Not all Americans have the right to vote. I don't know why, and I know it's a semantics thing, I don't know why you keep calling yourself an American. First and foremost, you are a U.S. citizen. Mexicans are Americans, Canadians are Americans. This goes back to a time when we wanted to supposedly control.
Eric, semantically I agree with you, but the fact of the matter is, having lived in Europe and traveled extensively, literally all over the planet, American, they don't say, are you a U.S. citizen? I mean, it's become the standard lexicon. You're right, literally, but I'll still call myself an American. I appreciate the call. 29 minutes past the hour.
A must-read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child, by recognized expert on ADD, said this about the Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Volunteers with AFL-CIO-affiliated unions spent Election Eve burning the midnight oil last night after member Rebecca White called Florida residents from Midtown Manhattan.
Senator John Kerry is a leader on issues important to union members and their families. Your vote is your right, and no one can prevent you from voting. I thank you for your time. Take care.
White is part of the largest ever AFL-CIO election mobilization, with 3,000 volunteers in Ohio alone. Many out-of-state Florida voters are out of luck after losing 56,000 absentee ballots. Broward County and West Palm Beach elections officials dropped off 8,000 replacement ballots to postal workers on Saturday. Many of the ballots arrived unsealed and had to be taped by hand. Postal employees scrambled to get the ballots in mailboxes by November 1st, leaving state residents until 7 p.m. today to return them to elections offices. Gerald McKiernan, spokesperson for the U.S. Postal Service.
Some of these ballots are going to Atlanta, Georgia. This one's going to Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm not sure we can do this. We'll deliver the local ones. We'll do the best we can, and we'll get out as many as we can, and we'll hopefully we can get a return.
Volunteers for the Kerry camp say they were unable to locate many voters who never received their ballots.
Anywhere from 15 million to 25 million Americans are predicted to come out and vote today, and the U.S. Election Assistance Commission is asking voters not to be deterred by long lines. Nearly 1.4 million people have been trained as poll workers. That's about 500,000 short of the number the commission says is needed to run the polls efficiently. The shortage of workers is especially evident in urban areas where there is a need for workers who speak multiple languages. The impact of the lack of workers could mean not just a longer wait in line, but also a longer wait for the final results to be tallied. Anticipating a need for more workers, the commission had sent an email to more than 100,000 Department of Agriculture employees seeking help. Only 14 employees who received the email have volunteered.
As workers go to the polls today, the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, has spent some $65 million on the pro-Kerry campaign effort. The SEIU has spent $7 million in Florida alone, and most of the SEIU effort has gone strategically to battleground states like Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Where are all the new jobs being added to the economy going? Well, if a new report by the Center for Immigration Studies is accurate, to immigrants. According to the report, immigrants holding a job increased by over 2 million between 2000 and 2004. As for native-born Americans, they saw their jobs decrease by nearly 500,000. The report also finds that there is little evidence that immigrants only take jobs a native worker doesn't want.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
You have the power. Today is your day to exercise it. Yeah, today is regime change day, coast to coast, the first Tuesday in November of the fourth year, and you know the drill. And Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service is on the line with us. Hey, Ellen, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I've just been spending the morning in New Hampshire, but just want to remind the New Mexico voters not only to vote for Kerry, but if you're in the Santa Fe area, vote for Valerie Espinoza as well.
Okay, Valerie Espinoza. She is running for...
County clerk.
County clerk. Great. You got it.
Okay. But speaking of county clerks, I was in a area in New Hampshire in Nashua, Ward 4. The Ward 4 clerk showed me that there were voting notices put in the wrong doors, in the wrong wards. For people in Ward 3, they said voted 4. Your precinct is vote 4. Now, it's interesting that these people, Tom, they took signs that were sort of from the ACT people, the Democrats, and it's a Democratic district. She thinks that possibly they took signs from people's houses and put it in the wrong ward. She said in all the years that she's been a clerk, which has been, I think, almost in New Hampshire in Nashua, Ward 4, the Ward 4 clerk showed me that there were voting notices put in the wrong doors, in the wrong wards. For people in Ward 3, they said voted 4. Your precinct is vote 4. Now, it's interesting that these people, Tom, they took signs that were sort of from the ACT people, the Democrats, and it's a Democratic district. She thinks that possibly they took signs from people's houses and put it in the wrong ward. She said in all the years that she's been a clerk, which has been, I think, almost 20 or so, she has never seen this problem.
This is incredible. So, in other words, in the Democratic areas, people were told to go vote in the wrong place.
Yeah.
This is, it's just like Adam Sharon just called from Broward County, and I hadn't realized, and I've been watching this story for weeks now on network television and news, that in Broward County, the 58,000 absentee ballots didn't go out to people who can't vote because they're in the hospital or in nursing homes. They, it's inconvenient, it's painful, whatever. A lot of elderly folks there. And Adam informed me that Broward is Jersey Girls.
moving along, you know, from the absurd to the serious. The Jersey Girls, Kristen Breitweiser and Monica Gabriel, two of the 9/11 widows, who relentlessly campaigned over the strong objection of the Bush administration and George W. Bush himself for an investigation of 9/11. And finally, Bush relented and allocated $3 million to investigate 9/11 after having, the day after the Challenger crash, allocated $50 million to investigate that. The Jersey Girls, when they saw the Osama videotape, released a statement which I did not see anywhere in the media. And I think this is very unfortunate that this was not in the media, and so I'm going to put it in this media. These are the words of Kristen Breitweiser and Monica Gabriel, two of the 9/11 widows known as the Jersey Girls. And I quote, "We cried when we saw the tape on Friday of Osama bin Laden. He's tanned and healthy. He does not look desperate or scared. He does not look like a man on the run." 3 years ago, these two widows said, 3 years ago, President Bush promised us he would capture Osama bin Laden, dead or alive. He didn't do that. The man who murdered our husbands is back terrorizing our country again. The videotape of him has brought us back to 9/11. We feel threatened. We feel vulnerable. We feel scared. Our question to President Bush is, why didn't you catch him when you promised us you would? Why is this mass murderer, this madman, still out there making videotapes and terrorizing our country 3 years after you promised our country that you would make us safe from him? President Bush, why can't you keep us safe from this madman? The words of Kristen Breitweiser and Monica Gabriel, two of the four women known as the Jersey Girls, who pretty much single-handedly got the 9/11 Commission in place and have been among the more outspoken on these issues. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Brian in New Jersey on the line. Hey, Brian, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to retort that I'm one of those stone slackers, but I got up at 7 o'clock this morning and got out like it was Christmas morning, voted for Kerry.
It's the stone slacker vote, and you actually made it. How are the polls in New Jersey, Brian?
The polls are, they were pretty packed for 7 o'clock. It was a bunch of old people, but that's fine. Hopefully they're all voting for Kerry. And I didn't see any youngins out there, but, you know, most of us sleep until noon anyway because we're all stoned and slackers. But I was out there at 7 o'clock.
Okay. So. Well done. Good on you.
Thank you, Tom.
I appreciate it, Brian. Good to hear from you. So the stone slackers weigh in. They are voting. They are showing up. They're even getting up early and going to the polls. So, you know, it's hope springs eternal. Hope springs eternal. And, you know, setting aside the cynicism of Mr. Dirty Phone Call, 1-866-889-8894. Laura in Santa Fe. Hey, Laura, I think we've only got about 20 seconds. In fact, not even that. There's the music. I'm going to ask you to hold on, and I'll pick you up on the other side of the break. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
Okay, hang on, Laura. We'll be back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting. Who would have thought? 10 minutes before the hour.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
The Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research is responsible for the following message. It was not approved by any candidate nor by any candidate's committee.
Hello, my name is Cindy, and I am a progressive.
For many years, I've supported Ralph Nader, always admiring his many accomplishments. However, at this critical time, I cannot support his candidacy. You see, I have Parkinson's disease, and embryonic stem cell research may one day save my life. George W. Bush has severely restricted funding for stem cell research. He also threatens to jail doctors and scientists who want to use nuclear transfer research to cure debilitating diseases. On the other hand, John Kerry vows to remove President Bush's restrictions and to openly fund this vital research. Ralph Nader recently admitted that he has no chance to win this presidential election. A vote for Nader can only be a vote for Bush. Please don't throw your vote away. My life depends on it. Thank you.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt.
Threatens to jail doctors and scientists who want to use nuclear transfer research to cure debilitating diseases. On the other hand, John Kerry vows to remove President Bush's restrictions and to openly fund this vital research. Ralph Nader recently admitted that he has no chance to win this presidential election. A vote for Nader can only be a vote for Bush. Please don't throw your vote away. My life depends on it. Thank you.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way, to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop!
Crater Lakes in upstate New York. Cornell uses a lot of energy for air conditioning during the summer, and a few engineers found a creative way to use Cayuga Lake to cool off the campus. Lanny Joyce is an engineer at Cornell's Utilities Department, and he helped develop the university's Lake Source Cooling Project. He says Cayuga Lake is so deep that only part of it warms up in the summer. Joyce says there's a layer of frigid water at the bottom of the lake all year long, and the university is using it to cool pipes that provide air conditioning to the campus.
We're saving 87% of the electricity of doing cooling the conventional way, which makes an annual electric use reduction in the neighborhood of $1.5 to $2 million a year. So it's a significant savings in electricity use and something that's a huge benefit to the global environment by not having to generate that electricity in some regional power plant.
The university performed environmental assessments before and after pipes were laid for the cooling system. Some people worried warm up because the water that comes back from campus is warmer than when it was pumped out. Joyce says that's not an issue.
The amount of heat turns out in reality to be the equivalent of about 2 hours of additional sunlight over the course of a year.
Cornell's system went into operation 4 years ago. The city of Toronto recently built a modified version of the Cornell system, and it's now using water from the depths of Lake to cool 100 office buildings downtown. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, I've heard that other countries are down on the U.S., a land of mass consumption, our lives filled with excess.
What?
But it wasn't fighting on Normandy that day for the right to drive a Hyundai. I refuse to live that way.
Oh, no. This is the SUV. So you got to hear this.
And I'm proud to be an American who gets just 5 mpg. Though I live alone, the car I own can seat 103. And I'll gladly park so close to you. When you pull out, you can't see. No, I'll never trade my Escalade. God bless my SUV.
Somehow I don't think that's what the founders had in mind. I just really don't. Although, it, you know, as George Herbert Walker Bush said, the American lifestyle is not negotiable. The Hummer was developed in as a response to a request from Arnold Schwarzenegger himself. Anyhow, we were talking to Laura in Santa Fe. Hey, Laura, what's on your mind?
Hey there. I just wanted to say that several years ago in Santa Fe, I worked on a feature film with John Gianvito, and he made this film, The Mad Songs of Fernando Hussein, which won international media acclaim. And in that film, it's documented that George Bush Sr. broke the Geneva Conventions in creating the Desert Storm attacks.
Hmm.
And it seems the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in seeing how George Jr.'s lack of respecting international law goes.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that none of us are surprised that Osama bin Forgotten would be brought out in front of the world media as the October surprise, you know, is intended to draw fear just before the elections.
Yeah. Well, I have to respectfully dissent, Laura. I think that this is all about Osama, and I think it has absolutely nothing to do with the elections. For example, the train bombing in Spain. Everybody, the conventional wisdom, everybody in the media says that Al-Qaeda changed the election in Spain. The polls were showing that the socialist guy was going to win anyway. And then when the guy in power blamed the bombing on the Basque separatists and everybody knew it was Al-Qaeda, he looked like a fool, and that even hurt worse. But it wasn't that people were afraid of Al-Qaeda, but Al-Qaeda got credit. Bin Laden has done this when he did it so that after our election, regardless of who wins, he can claim credit for it and increase his stature in the Muslim world. His intended audience was not Americans. His intended audience, in my opinion, was the Muslim world. So I don't think that that was the October surprise of the Bush administration. In fact, I think in some ways it's cutting against Bush. But I
hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, it certainly seems that way. You know, you got people saying, hey, I thought that, you know, this guy was dead or alive. What's he doing here? Anyhow, Laura.
It just shows that if you have enough money, you can get anybody to believe almost anything.
Yeah, well, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, Marilyn, thanks for the call. Or Laura, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's the Tom Hartman program. Tom Hartman here with you. You're in the middle of the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations, my friends.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Volunteers with AFL-CIO-affiliated unions spent Election Eve burning the midnight oil last night after member Rebecca White called Florida residents from Midtown Manhattan.
Senator John Kerry is a leader on issues important to union members and their families. Your vote is your right, and no one can prevent you from voting. I thank you for your time. Take care.
White is part of the largest ever AFL-CIO election mobilization with 3,000 volunteers in Ohio alone. Many out-of-state Florida voters are out of luck after losing 56,000 absentee ballots. Broward County and West Palm Beach elections officials dropped off 8,000 replacement ballots to postal workers on Saturday. Many of the ballots arrived unsealed and had to be taped by hand. Postal employees scrambled to get the ballots in mailboxes by November 1st, leaving state residents until 7 p.m. today to return them to elections offices. Gerald McKiernan, spokesperson for the U.S. Postal Service.
Some of these ballots are going to Atlanta, Georgia. This one's going to Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm not sure we can do this. We'll deliver the local ones. We'll do the best we can, and we'll get out as many as we can, and we'll hopefully we can get a return.
Volunteers for the Cary camp say they were unable to locate many voters who never received their ballots.
Anywhere from 15 million to 25 million Americans are predicted to come out and vote today, and the U.S. Election Assistance Commission is asking voters not to be deterred by long lines. Nearly 1.4 million people have been trained as poll workers. That's about 500,000 short of the number the commission says is needed to run the polls efficiently. The shortage of workers is especially evident in urban areas where there's a need for workers who speak multiple languages. The impact of the lack of workers could mean not just a longer wait in line, but also a longer wait for the final results to be tallied. Anticipating a need for more workers, the commission had sent an email to more than 100,000 Department of Agriculture employees seeking help. Only 14 employees who received the email have volunteered.
As workers go to the polls today, the Service Employees International Union
is short of the number the commission says is needed to run the polls efficiently. The shortage of workers is especially evident in urban areas where there's a need for workers who speak multiple languages. The impact of the lack of workers could mean not just a longer wait in line, but also a longer wait for the final results to be tallied. Anticipating a need for more workers, the commission had sent an email to more than 100,000 Department of Agriculture employees seeking help. Only 14 employees who received the email have volunteered.
As workers go to the polls today, the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, has spent some $65 million on the pro-Cary campaign effort. The SEIU has spent $7 million in Florida alone, and most of the SEIU effort has gone strategically to battleground states like Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Where are all the new jobs being added to the economy going? Well, if a new report by the Center for Immigration Studies is accurate, to immigrants. According to the report, immigrants holding a job increased by over 2 million between 2000 and 2004. As for native-born Americans,
recklessly trying to stretch, alter, and amend the Constitution, which this country was based on, and that's why I'm going to vote for John Kerry.
Move On Pack is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
There's a huge, hulking, hairy beast lurking in the corner that the powers that be don't want you to notice. The draft. Oh, no, insists George W., we're not going to have a draft, period. But isn't he the same guy who also insisted that Saddam Hussein absolutely had weapons of mass destruction? Why would anyone take his word? Oh, say the talk show pundits, the fear that a draft is coming is just paranoia being fueled by internet bloggers. But aren't these the same pundits that assured us that our troops would be greeted by grateful Iraqis throwing rose petals at them, and that those troops would be home in no time? Who trusts them? Every day, we see the reality in news reports of a war gone horribly bad, and of so-called leaders who don't have a clue as to what to do except throw more troops at it. Indeed, top military analysts concede that our troops will have to occupy that country for another 10 to 20 years. Meanwhile, Bush is already pushing his next war, this one in Iran. There's also that boiling pot in North Korea, a nation that really does have weapons of mass destruction. Plus, we're still in Afghanistan. There's the genocide in Darfur. We're sinking more troops into the jungle of Colombia. And we're constantly told to expect yet another major hit on America by Al-Qaeda. Where will the Bushites get the troops for all of this? Not by continuing to force current troops in Iraq to extend their stay. That's illegal conscription, and there's already rebellion within the ranks. The volunteer army? Guess what? Recruitment is way off now that potential volunteers see the Bushites' inept handling of their wars. Maybe George's military-aged daughters or the kids of Halliburton executives will suddenly step forward to volunteer for America. But don't hold your breath. This is Jim Hightower saying, just as George dodged the draft in his day, he's now dodging the very real prospect that he'll impose a new draft on this generation.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
Ah!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get Score Power at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
The man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political men.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, TomHartman.com. The website, if you'd like to be on the air. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, which is pretty full today. Wild conversations going on. Mary Boyle is with Common Cause. They've been, you know, one of the finest organizations, in my opinion, in the United States. One of the finest organizations advocating the positions of we the people on a whole variety of situations. Mary, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Pleased to have you here. What are you folks doing relative to today's vote? And in that context, what are you seeing going on?
Well, we have a lot of monitoring efforts, the voter alert line that we have set up that has taken in already well over 130,000 calls, about 30,000 of them coming today.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And what are the majority of these calls about?
Well, a lot of them are about people who believe that they had registered.
Were these the folks who were registered by these Republican front groups who set up tables?
That's unclear. I mean, we don't have enough kind of information to kind of determine, you know, why they thought they were registered or who they thought they registered with. I guess that's still to be determined. But that is a big problem today, along with people who requested absentee ballots. They didn't come in time. We saw a lot of this in Florida. They decide, well, it didn't come, so I'm going to show up and go vote in person because people are determined to vote today.
Right.
And they show up to vote and are challenged or are told they have to vote with a provisional ballot or run into some kind of difficulty in that way.
Particularly, ironically, in the most Democratic county in the entire state of Florida, Broward County, this is the place where 58,000 ballots, absentee ballots, went missing. Many of these people are not actually going to be able to show up at the polls because they're in the hospital, they're sick, they're not real ambulatory. A lot of them are elderly folks. They don't drive. This just stinks of 2000 all over again.
Yeah. Well, you know, if anything, we think that it may be worse. We're seeing as many problems, but in more places. And I agree with you completely,
Mary. Do you think Mary Boyle with Common Cause? Do you think that it's possible? There's an emerging consensus around the possibility of this. That it was this way 4 years ago, and that the only reason that anybody found out that the Republicans were doing this kind of stuff in so many places and so thoroughly and completely was because Florida was so close. If Florida had been, 15,000 votes in favor of Bush, or Gore for that matter, nobody would have ever known what Jeb Bush had pulled off, or that it might have been happening in other states, and we don't know about it because those states weren't so close that they got contested.
Yeah, I think that's entirely true. I mean, voting problems, kind of suppression, intimidation issues on behalf of both political parties, all of that has been going on for a long time. And
yeah.
You're exactly right. All the 2000 did was shine a light on it and made us all very painfully aware of what was clear and comprehensive picture as to what is going on with our election system today. And working with academics, we're going to analyze that data and produce reports that we are hopeful will lead to reform and improvements in the system. It's got to be changed. I mean, aren't we occurring?
Well, according to the Supreme Court in Bush v. Gore, we don't have a right to vote.
Yeah, well.
that's something we need to take care of as well. That's a whole other discussion. But the phone number that most people know about is 1-866-OUR-VOTE or 1-866-MY-VOTE-1 if you want to report a problem or contact an attorney. Are those common causes numbers, or do you have a separate line that you're getting all these calls?
No, our number is 1-866-MY-VOTE-1. The other is Election Protection Coalition, which is a slightly different. Our line does three things, okay? You can call and leave a message about your voting experience. You can punch in your home phone number, and there's and it will patch you through to your county board. Board of Elections, which today may or may not be able to answer your call. They're obviously swamped.
Yeah.
The other hotlines, work a little differently, but those are the three things that 1-866-MY-VOTE-1 does.
Yeah. And now we have this amazing situation. We're on Topic A with Tina Brown about a month ago. Bev Harris walked Howard Dean through hacking a Diebold central tabulator machine. The all the voting machines feed into one central tabulator for each county or for each state. Millions and millions of votes, thousands of precincts, or hundreds of thousands, depending on the size of the state. And in 90 seconds, she and Howard Dean is not some computer guru, It's a Windows machine. In 90 seconds, in fact, I've got a clip of it. I'm going to play after we're done here for our listeners. I won't inflict it on you, but in 90 seconds, she taught him. She had him actually change an election, hack an election. This is common knowledge how to do this. I mean, it's all over the internet. Are you anticipating, given that we really haven't had exit polls in the United States that were accurate since the mid-90s, and that exit polls are the historic way that the United Nations, the Carter Center, other groups compare the results of a vote with some objective measurable standard to determine whether there's voter fraud going on in third world countries.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with exit polls this year? Is it going to be possible? Is there going to be any way of knowing whether these electronic voting machines are producing any kind of accurate results?
Well, we're doing some pretty extensive exit polling. About the voting process in New Mexico, in Ohio. We also have about 4,000 voting monitors across the country, many of whom are what we're calling closing voters. And they agree to show up at a polling place or a precinct while it's closing. They wait around while they post the tally numbers from the precinct on a wall or something. They copy them down and they take a picture of them. I mean, you're right about the voting machines. And what can be even scarier is that you can have someone who hacks in and you never even know it, or you could have a virus that attacks a computer and you would never even know it. It could change the results and no one would know.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, we're all for a paper trail, that all these machines should be equipped with a paper trail so people can look at it and see that their vote was, recorded as they meant it to be and then it was cast that way.
Yeah, I remember 2 years ago I wrote the first nationally publicized article about this. It was called "If You Want to Control an Election or Win an Election, Just Control the Voting Machines," mm-hmm. and it outed Chuck Hagel. The fact that he used to, when The Hill was following up on this, so the newspaper The Hill. I want to say Charlie Alexander. I'm not sure that's his name. One of the reporters there, Hagel's office came down and threatened legal action against them if they reported this, and it was about Bev Harris and the work she was doing, and then MoveOn.org asked me to write a piece that they mailed out to 1.6 million people in Alternet published,
and
we really kicked the door open on this thing about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and it just amazes me that as a consequence of that and efforts of many other people. Congressman Rush Holt proposed this piece of legislation, Congressman from New Jersey, that says that all machines have a voter-verified ballot, not just a receipt, but a ballot, so that there's actually a paper trail that can be audited. He has enough co-sponsors to this bill, Republican and Democrat, enough co-sponsors to actually pass it if it was held for a vote, and Tom DeLay and Denny Hastert will not allow it out of committee. They won't let it to the floor. Why are the Republicans so so afraid of auditable voting trails on voting machines? Why would this be a partisan issue?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's a very good question.
In voter fraud than Democrats? I mean, I got today an email, you know, I get the talking points for right-wing talk shows as well as things from Center for American Progress. Mm-hmm. And the right-wing talk show points, it's really remarkable because I get them in the morning and I can hear them in the afternoon on Sean Hannity's show. You know, it's a, mm-hmm. But the talking points today are voter fraud and intimidation, state incident, state by state. And they've got all these mm-hmm. states where MoveOn.org is at polling sites and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they're actually starting to get hysterical about the voting machines on
well,
the right.
I know that the Republicans have challenged MoveOn in three states, actually.
Yeah.
MoveOn volunteers who are at polls, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Now, but
yeah, there are, you know, in Ohio, you know, the Republicans have been allowed back in and are challenging. We're hearing about it in Florida. There's definitely a trend that way.
Yeah. Now, have you been getting calls in the last few hours from Ohio from people saying that they have had this Republican goon squad actually confronting them?
You know, I have not. We have some people on the ground where I have a call scheduled with them. We haven't, as of a couple of hours ago, we had not heard kind of specific stories yet.
So it's probably a little too early to know.
Yeah, I think so.
Where are you getting reports of problems from?
Literally all over the country. I mean, from, you know, I'm looking at a story here. Ohio, I've heard a number of complaints from Ohio, from an inner city neighborhood where there's a rumor rampant that if people show up to vote, they're going to be arrested for any kind of traffic ticket, outstanding traffic tickets. And
yeah, now that was a flyer that was passed out in the black community in several cities in Ohio that nobody knows where it came from.
Yeah, well, apparently, you know, it's still, the whole rumor is still very much alive and people are believing it. A woman who, you know, believed it, called into our line and said she knows 20 people who are not going to go vote today because of that. And, you know, she was very upset about it.
Because she had in fact, the story that I heard was that this thing not only said if you have an outstanding traffic ticket, you can be arrested, but also if you voted in the primary, this would be mm-hmm. considered a second vote and you could be arrested. Or if any member of your family has ever committed a crime, you
wow.
may be arrested.
Yeah. I mean, we're hearing about election judges kind of randomly asking people for identification in polling places. We're hearing about challenges to people who were trying to do early voting last night and got in line like 1 minute after the polls closed, and Republican lawyers saying that they were going to challenge them if they were allowed to cast their
incredible.
Vote then.
Incredible. Mary, we're out of time, but 1-866-MY-VOTE-1 is the number
yes.
for Common Cause. Mary Boyle of Common Cause. Mary, thanks so much for being with us today.
Great. Thank you,
I do appreciate
Tom.
It.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times.
Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way, to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times.
Now.com. Dennis Weaver Now.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. All of the attention given to Halliburton and their no-bid contract in Iraq would make you think that it is not a regular practice. But a new report from the Center of Public Integrity reveals that at least $362 billion was spent on no-bid contracts by the Pentagon since 1998. But the Pentagon did not stop there, rewarding $255 billion in cost-plus contracts that allow companies to spend as much as they deem necessary on a job, including an agreed-upon profit.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's
888-242. Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, we're going to shake up this country. Welcome back. 24 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Get out and vote. And if you already have, good on you. And if you haven't, you know, and take three friends to the polls. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. First, let's go to Greg Gorman of the Talk Radio News Service and get a report. Hey, Greg, where are you?
Well, I'm just outside of York, Pennsylvania.
Ah, one of the great swing states. And what's happening there?
Well, you're right about that. It's been an incredible morning. Pennsylvania and Pennsylvanians are very proud, I believe, to be a swing state. I've talked to people all morning and all afternoon, and they're very, very energized. And I get this intense sense of pride from these Pennsylvanians, knowing that their vote is not only going to be counted, but going to be watched by the rest of the country.
Yeah, and every Pennsylvania vote is the equivalent of dozens of other votes. I mean, because these swing states have so much influence.
They have a lot of influence. As a matter of fact, this morning I was in a small suburb of Harrisburg, the state capital, and by 7:20, the line that had been there was gone because everyone had gotten up, gotten early, and voted. And
wow.
People are excited. People are very, very mobilized.
So are you encountering problems? We were just talking with Mary, I'm missing her last name now, of Common Cause just a moment ago, and she said that they have gotten something like 30,000 calls from people all over the United States about Republican attempts at intimidation and voter disenfranchisement all over the country. Are you seeing
that? Well, I didn't see actually any disenfranchisement. Actually, the polls I went to in about four different places all around Southeast Pennsylvania, I mean, people are very calm. The polls are very well organized. There was one small snafu. I was at the Bush-Cheney Victory Center in York, and a poll watcher came in. He had been given a packet of information that was missing half of the name on his list, so he couldn't do his job.
You mean challenging voters?
Right. No, he was actually a Republican supporting Bush.
Right.
So he ran into the Victory Center to make sure he had the complete list. Because, as you know, they are making sure there are no double signees, there are no fictional voters on the list, either watching very carefully.
Yeah, they're really looking for Mickey Mouse there. They're just going to nail that guy when he shows up.
Yeah, exactly. That's I don't know why Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Mary Poppins are the names that keep popping up.
I can tell you why. Because,
okay, why?
because and this happened in Pennsylvania, and it's so weird. First of all, if a Democrat, if a true believer Democrat or a true believer Republican or a true believer Green or Ralph Nader fan is signing up somebody to vote, they're going to make sure that it's a real person who has a real address who really can vote, because they want to make sure that that registration counts. We all agree on that. But what happened was the Republicans hired these second party, these private for-profit corporations, small businesses, who went out and hired, in some cases, literally people, homeless people off the street, you know, standing on the street corners, and transients, and said, we'll pay you $1 a signature for everybody that you can sign up to vote, or, you know, $100 a day to sign people up to vote. And these folks, because they were being paid by how many pieces of paper they turned in, started filling these things out with names like Mary Poppins and Donald Duck, and they got their money from the Republicans and went off, you know, merrily on their way, chuckling. The Republicans didn't check them. They submitted them, and you had a judge in Pennsylvania look at these and throw out 16,000 of these things because they were phony. Now, this was clearly done by the Republicans in an effort to get Ralph Nader on the ballot, and yet, weirdly, in all the national media now, the Republicans are saying, oh, look at it. It must be a Democratic effort at vote fraud because Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Mary Poppins are on the ballot. Well, those were the names that were in the news story that the AP carried, that CBS, NBC, ABC all talked about 2 weeks ago when the Pennsylvania judge pointed out about a third of the Ralph Nader petitions, registrations, were phony. That's where it came from.
And, Tom, I know... Knowing you, I know that you're not surprised by that at all.
No, what I'm surprised and horrified by is that people like Chris Matthews haven't had the courage to point that out every time one of these cons come on with their talking points and raise it. Greg, thanks for the call. Great for thanks for the report. And, you know, call us back if anything else hot is happening.
Absolutely.
Okay, good to hear from you. Great to hear your voice again. I remember our meeting in New York, and keep up the good work. We'll see
you
soon.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Okay,
do
good. 29 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program.
At last, there's a positive focus on ADHD and the gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Volunteers with AFL-CIO affiliated unions spent Election Eve burning the midnight oil last night after member Rebecca White called Florida residents from Midtown Manhattan.
Senator John Kerry is a leader on issues important to union members and their families. Your vote is your right, and no one can prevent you from voting. I thank you for your time. Take care.
White is part of the largest ever AFL-CIO election mobilization, with 3,000 volunteers in Ohio alone. Tuck, after losing 56,000 absentee ballots, Broward County and West Palm Beach elections officials dropped off 8,000 replacement ballots to postal workers on Saturday. Many of the ballots arrived unsealed and had to be taped by hand. Postal employees scrambled to get the ballots in mailboxes by November 1st, leaving state residents until 7 p.m. today to return them to elections offices. Gerald McKiernan, spokesperson for the U.S. Postal Service.
Some of these ballots are going to Atlanta, Georgia. This one's going to Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm not sure we can do this. We'll deliver the local ones. We'll do the best we can, and we'll get out as many as we can, and hopefully we can get a return.
Volunteers for the Kerry camp say they were unable to locate many voters who never received their ballots.
Anywhere from 15 million to 25 million Americans are predicted to come out and vote today, and the U.S. Election Assistance Commission is asking voters not to be deterred by long lines. Nearly 1.4 million people have been trained as poll workers. That's about 500,000 short of the number the commission says is needed to run the polls efficiently.
The shortage of workers is especially evident in urban areas where there is a need for workers who speak multiple languages. The impact of the lack of workers could mean not just a longer wait in line, but also a longer wait for the final result seeking help. Only 14 employees who received the email have volunteered.
As workers go to the polls today, the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, has spent some $65 million on the pro-carry campaign effort. The SEIU has spent $7 million in Florida alone, and most of the SEIU effort has gone strategically to battleground states like Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Where are all the new jobs being added to the economy going? Well, if a new report by the Center for Immigration Studies is accurate, to immigrants. According to the report, immigrants holding a job increased by over 2 million between 2000 and 2004. As for native-born Americans, they saw their jobs decrease by nearly 500,000. The report also finds that there is little evidence that immigrants only take jobs a native worker doesn't want.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
In a building of gold with riches untold lived the families in which the country was founded. And the merchants of Star with their vain velvet smiles were there, for they also were hounded.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. I want to tell you about the folks who founded this country in just a moment. Let's take a couple calls first quickly here. Marilyn in Albuquerque, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Marilyn, welcome to the program.
Hi. My name is Marilyn Morgan, and I'm president of the New Mexico State League of Women Voters.
Ah.
I'm calling because I heard from one of our local leagues that there was some problem in Doña Ana County.
Well, here's what I got, Marilyn.
I wanted to hear what that was.
This is, you know, the right-wing talking points that are sent out to all the talk show hosts.
Yeah.
I get them every day, and I get them from the right and from the left. And this particular set, this came from a guy named Scott Hodginson. Voter fraud intimidation incidents so far, and they've got Colorado, Florida, Iowa, Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And under New Mexico, the one incident that they have of what they call voter fraud and intimidation is, and you'll probably hear about this on the right-wing shows later on.
Oh, I'm sure.
Is, and I quote, reports of League of Women Voters at polling place in Doña Ana County. And so I thought, the League of Women Voters, they must be out there with axe handles like Lester Maddox used to do.
We're very physical, very dramatic,
Oh, I'm sure. It's maybe even, assault weapons and things. Who knows? I mean,
well, let me tell you a few things about the League of Women Voters. You probably know it, but since we're on the air.
Yep.
The League of Women Voters is a political organization, but it's a nonpartisan political membership organization of men and women citizens.
Yep.
And our whole purpose is to empower other citizens to shape better communities worldwide, and that's why we're working so much with election.
Yeah, I know, and you are neither Republicans nor Democrats, or at least
Absolutely.
As an organization,
well,
you don't take
I'm
a position.
Sure everybody individually is a member of some party or an independent, but that doesn't make any difference. What we're trying to do is see to it that citizens are empowered to vote, that their vote is not taken away from them, disenfranchised, that they are not disenfranchised.
Well, yeah, the conservatives are saying that you're part of the voter fraud and intimidation machine, so just heads up.
Well, no, I heard that I called down there to find out what was going on. They said, no, they were surprised. There was nothing going on. There were a couple of Republican poll watchers who were complaining about a League of Women Voters person being observed.
There you go. And one of them turned you in, and it got into the national Republican machine, and that got sent out to talk show hosts all across the country, and it ended up in my computer.
Well, we're working with election protection. You have the right to vote, and we are poll watchers all over. We're observers.
Yeah.
We're there to help people we want to be sure that they have the opportunity and they're not confused. First-time voters or people who haven't voted for a while, you know, don't panic. If you registered to vote and your name is not on the list, be sure you get a help from a poll worker to make sure your vote's counted. They may direct you to another polling place or give you a provisional ballot. If they say you're not registered, ask for a provisional ballot.
Yep, I absolutely am. Marilyn, I think it's marvelous what you're doing, and I want to, again, reiterate to our listeners, when you're going to vote, number one, be sure and take ID with you. All the ID you can find, you know, to
absolutely.
Prove it, you know, including, you know, the meter receipts and property tax receipts, if you can find them, passport, you know, what birth certificate, whatever it may take, number one. Number two, if anybody comes up to you and asks who you are or any personal information about you, ask them for some identification first.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Because it could be somebody who's like an identity thief or it could be goon squad guys.
Absolutely.
And if it's somebody from the League of Women Voters and they're offering to help you, you know, take it seriously, but if they can prove that. But if it's don't just listen to anybody. And really the only people who have any legal authority are the people who are actually working there as poll workers, the employees of the poll.
That's right. They are employed. Now, we are volunteers.
Right.
Election people will be remaining 50 feet from the polling area, but we're passing out your rights as a citizen, the things that you need when.
There you go.
And then
there
asking, you know,
well
if
said.
You
and
have
if,
any
and,
questions.
Yep, and if anybody has any problem, the number is 1-866-OurVote or 1-866-MyVote1.
We are nonpartisan.
And you are nonpartisan. There you go. We got it, Marilyn. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Let's take one more quick call here. Dave in Humboldt County. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Oh, Tom, I've got a last-minute idea that may or may not be crazy, but it might just be helpful. And I share all of your concerns about these non-verifiable voting machines, and I have some inside knowledge as to how it'll be done. It is Ashcroft's Patriot Act high-tech troopers that will be doing the job. It occurs to me that today would be a wonderful day for everybody with an Internet computer to be bringing up and tie them up so bad that they wouldn't be able to rig all these computers. It's just a thought I'm having.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an idea, Dave. It's not, you know, in other words, get on the radar screen of the Ashcrofts of the world. I just like to remind you, the signers wrote in the Declaration of Independence, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And it was a simple statement of fact. The day that these people signed that document, each traitor and was sentenced to death for treason by the legal government that controlled their lands and their homes. As Ben Franklin pointed out, they stood at a point of no return, and indeed we must all hang together, Franklin said. Otherwise we shall most assuredly hang separately. John Hancock, the wealthiest among them, signed his name large enough that the king could, quote, to quote Hancock, could read my name without glasses and now double the reward, end quote, of £500 that had already been put on his head for sedition. Just 6 months later, Hancock would lose his newborn daughter to complications of childbirth arising from his wife's having to flee the oncoming British Army. Although wealthy by the standards of the day, John Hancock would hardly qualify as rich by today's standards. He founded no dynasty and no foundations today disperse his money. His legacy is our nation. Another of the wealthiest of the signers was Thomas Nelson of Virginia, but a year after signing the Declaration of Independence, the British had seized his home and lands. When he and George Washington attack the British in Nelson's hometown, the British had taken up residence in Nelson's house, British General Cornwallis. And Nelson, and after the war, Nelson, unable to repay loans he'd taken out against his home to help finance the revolution, lost his property and died in poverty at the age of 50. The wealthy Philadelphia merchant Robert Morris lost all his ships during the war. Signer William Ellery of Rhode Island similarly lost everything, as did Virginia's Carter Braxton and Benjamin Harrison, Pennsylvania's George Clymer, New York's Philip Livingston, Georgia's Lyman Hall, and New Jersey's Francis Hopkinson. The British destroyed New York's Francis Lewis's property and threw his wife into such a hellhole of a jail that she died 2 years later. Three of South Carolina's four signers of the Declaration of Independence, Edward Rutledge, Thomas Heywood, Jr., and Arthur Middleton, were captured by the British and held in a filthy, unheated prison and brutally tortured for over a year before George Washington freed them in a prisoner exchange. New Jersey farmer John Hart's wife died shortly after he signed the Declaration of Independence, and his 13 children were scattered among sympathetic families to hide them from the British and the conservative loyalists. He never saw them again, dying alone and racked with grief 3 years later. Altogether, 17 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were wiped out by the war they declared. New Jersey State Supreme Court Justice Richard Stockton took his wife and children into hiding after he signed the Declaration, but conservatives loyal to the Crown turned them in. He was so badly beaten and starved in the British prison that he died before the war was over. His home was looted, and his wife and children lived the rest of their lives as paupers. Altogether, Nutroom died, and four lost all of their children as a direct result of putting their names to the Declaration of Independence. Every single one had to flee his home. And after the war, 12 returned to find only rubble. After the war was over and the conservatives had fled to Canada and England, the survivors of the new American nation met to put into final form the legal structure of the name of the nation they had just birthed. It was not to be a nation of cynical, selfish libertarians who believed the highest value was individual freedom and independence from society, or that the greatest motivator was greed. It was not to be a kingdom ruled by a warlord elite. It was not to be a theocracy where religious leaders made the rules. It was not to be a feudal state ruled by the rich. As Benjamin Franklin told Philadelphia's Mrs. Powell after she asked him what sort of nation had been conceived in the Constitutional Convention of 1877, he said, it was to be, quote, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. If we're going to keep it, we have to participate. Your participation today, whether you are a Republican or a Democrat, no matter what your political affiliation, no matter what your thoughts on politics, your participation today is what makes this nation great. Please do not forget to participate in today's election and encourage others. Do everything you can to help other people get out there and vote. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. And
I hope you don't mind me telling
folks that you kind of got choked up up in Santa Fe when you were reading that.
Yeah, I did.
That is so powerful. I'm choked up just listening to it again.
It's a chapter from What Would Jefferson Do, by the way. From not to plug the book, but I might as well. I was just reading from my book. Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Here in New Mexico, every vote counts. Last time around, Gore won by 366 votes. That means a shift of one vote per precinct would have thrown this to a red state.
Yep.
I don't want that. I went out and voted early. I've been to a couple precincts early this morning. I'm going back over to the Kerry campaign headquarters and, I don't know, sweep the floor, empty the trash, haul people to the polls, make phone calls, whatever they want me to do.
Yeah.
I owe it to my fighting over in Iraq. And he's not over there protecting us. He's not over there defending us. He's over there doing his job that he was lied into doing.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for my grandson because he doesn't need to be paying my bills.
Right, yeah.
And I thank you for so much for your work.
Well, thank you, Roy.
It's going to get the work out.
Yeah.
We're going to work out. We're going to get the word out.
Yeah, I agree, Roy, and I appreciate your continuous and unflagging enthusiasm for democracy in the United States and this great republic. It is so important that anybody with an ounce of patriotism, which should be all of us, get out and participate today. And Roy, you're one of the great ones. Sean in Indianapolis is on the line. Our number 1-866-889-8894. Hey, Sean, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, a couple of things. Number one, living in Indiana where the conservatives, you know, outnumber us like 1-3, it sure has been a boring election. All the states around me Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio are getting all the attention, but in Indiana, when I filled out my absentee ballot, at least for the president, and that's why I voted for Nader, because it's not a swing state, and it's really frustrating not having a, you know, not having a say in all of this, really.
Yeah, you know, number one, I understand your point, Sean, and there's nothing we can do about it at this moment. Number two, I have to say, I wouldn't have voted for. I live in Vermont, which is a safe state. You know, it's the odds of John Kerry losing Vermont are let's say pretty slim. And I voted for Nader in 2000, but I'm not going to vote for Nader this time, because if John Kerry wins the electoral vote. In other words, if the Electoral College goes his way and he doesn't also win the popular vote, then the cons are going to use that to beat him over the head and try and render him impotent with regard to the legislative, any kind of legislative agenda for the first couple of years of his administration.
Just basically wanting to make a statement saying that I'm really not happy with either party, and this is my way of protesting.
Yeah, I understand.
No, I loved Nader 5 years ago. I actually got to meet him once when he was here.
Yeah.
And but now it was more of a protest vote, instead of a pro Nader vote. I also wanted to tell you that there's a little ray of hope. Computer hackers are I'm not one anymore, but I keep up with the culture. And they had a conference a couple of months ago called the Hackers on Planet Earth.
Yeah.
And all the artwork and wall drawings and posters they had were all anti-Bush. I'm not going to say hackers are pro-Kerry, but at least 90% of all the hackers out there are anti-Bush.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot.
All the corrupt Republican votes.
Yeah, it's God help us. I mean, it's let us hope that the hackers have no role in this, whether they're pro-Kerry or pro-Bush. It's perhaps an overly optimistic dream and hope. But let's hope that there is such scrutiny right now of these voting machines that what I think was the electronic voting machine fraud that happened in Georgia, I believe Max Cleland actually won that election. But there's no paper trail to prove it one way or the other. Let's hope it doesn't happen this time and that it'll never happen again. 10 minutes before the hour.
Bonjour. My name is Véronique Raskin. I founded the Organic Wine Company 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious. When turned into wine, you can really taste the difference with every sip. So our wines are delicious and eco-friendly at 1-888-ECO-WINE, and I will send you 3 of my favorite organically grown French wines at half off the regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. Isn't that magnifique? I think so. If you don't share my enthusiasm, I'll gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me at 1-888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Au revoir.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in the heartland.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way: to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
Cities are losing the fight against traffic gridlock, and that's costing a lot of time, gas, and money. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Across America, roads have been widened and mass transit systems expanded, and more people are working on computers at home. But cities are still losing the battle against highway congestion. The Texas Transportation Institute reports that the time people spend sitting in rush hour traffic has nearly tripled since 1982. Tim Lomax is a research engineer and co-author of the Institute's 2004 Urban Mobility Report. He says growing traffic congestion represents a waste of time and resources.
The annual delay per commuter during the peak period has grown from 16 hours to 46 hours since 1982 up to 2002. The cost of congestion has gone up to $63 billion in 2002, and that includes that delay plus 5.6 billion gallons of wasted fuel due to the traffic jams.
Lomax says the average commuter burns as much as half a tank of gasoline each month while idling in gridlock.
On a per-person basis, for the folks in the 85 urban areas we deal with, it's an average of 74 gallons per year, something like 6 gallons a month.
Lomax says economic growth in urban areas is the main driver of traffic congestion. Cities everywhere are developing outward, boosting the number of commuters on some freeways. Lomax says individuals can take a number of steps to cut congestion and save money, time, and stress. He says commuters should combine trips, carpool, and use alternative forms of transportation when possible, and he says drivers should make sure their cars are in sound mechanical order to avoid breakdowns in heavy traffic. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Many's the hour I've lain by my window and thought of the people who carry the burden.
And now it's our turn.
Fields in search of an answer.
Now it's our turn to carry the burden. The burden, at least getting to the polls. Come on, it's not that big a deal. 1-866-889-8895. I mean, it is a huge deal. It's not that much work. It's Frankie in Paintsville, Kentucky, on the line. Hey, Frankie, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Tom. I'd just like to point out one thing that really kind of bothers me that a couple other people called in and said.
Sure.
You know, we live in a sparsely populated state unless you go to a couple of cities that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of bad to have 5 or 6 major states' populace decide what is for the rest of the country.
Yeah.
If they was to ever drop the electoral vote thing, it might be better for the country because then a state like ours would have a chance to really say what we want.
Actually, you know, it sounds logical, frankly, Frankie, what you're saying, but the reverse would happen. Right now, Kentucky has more. Your vote counts more than somebody in California's vote. And the reason why is because the number of electoral votes that each state has is the combination of the number of people that they have in the House and Senate. And you have 2 senators plus however many members of the House of Representatives you have. And whereas California has 2 senators and they got like close to 50 or 30 some odd members of the House. And so what would happen if we did away with the Electoral College and we just went to a straight, you know, every count, every vote, is that in about California, New York, Pennsylvania, United States in terms of raw population, and
well,
all of the
know,
campaigning would just take place in those big states.
But you don't have to go by the popular vote. But now, see, the popular vote can win the state, but then you count the state.
That's what we're doing right now with the Electoral College.
No, yeah, but see, if you
Oh, you mean if each state has one vote?
But it's done in a step-by thing. Use a popular vote for the state.
Yeah, but then, okay, then you're saying, so your state has one vote and California has one vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, your state, you know, Kentucky has what, 3, 4, 5 million people? Something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, California has 34 million people. I mean, that's, is that fair to somebody living in California?
But is it fair for those other 5, 6, 7 states to be able to decide for the whole country?
Well, see, that's the problem. It's not. And that's, you know, this is what the founders struggled with, and what they came up with was this compromise that we call the Electoral College, where the smaller states have a little extra weight because they've got two senators, and the larger states have a little less weight, but it's not hugely more and it's not hugely less. And it's, you know, it's like Winston Churchill, you know, democracy isn't the best form of government, but it's the best one, you know, we have. I mean,
yeah.
It's a...
I'll tell you another little thing, too, that, like, happened in 2000 with Florida.
Yeah.
They were talking about, like, the panhandle, and they were saying, well...
Frankie, I'm sorry. We're out of time. If you can call me back tomorrow, we can get into it. But we got to wrap up the show here. I do appreciate the call, though. Thanks to Louise for producing our program today, to Ira for engineering it. Thanks to the folks in our chat room for showing up. Thanks to you for listening. It is appreciated. See you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic